ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Chapter 4, text 34. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinah. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Purport: the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to the disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam says, Dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path, nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant, without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. In this verse, the Lord is stating to Arjuna a most basic principle of advancement in spiritual life. Krishna is telling Arjuna to approach his spiritual master. Now, Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita for the benefit not only of Arjuna but for the benefit of all living beings. Actually, Krishna himself is acting as the spiritual master of Arjuna. However, here he says that you can approach others also. Just like Arjuna, along with Yudhishthira later on, he was there while Yudhishthira was speaking. Bhishmadev was speaking to Yudhishthira. But the general principle is that we have to take knowledge from those who know. Now, what is the system for taking knowledge from a spiritual master? It's not exactly like a school process where you study some books and simply by academic or intellectual adjustment you understand the subject matter. But this subject matter, although it's undoubtedly knowledge, but it's spiritual knowledge. So knowledge it is. There are certain facts which have to be learned. Just like if you're studying the Shastras, then you'll learn there are three modes of material nature, that what are the effects of these three modes, how they act within this world. There are three kinds of material miseries, adhyatmika, adhidaivika, adhibhautik, then there are four kinds of material miseries, janma, mrityu, jaravyati. So there are many things to learn. But at the same time, it's not simply a matter of learning, it's a matter of realization also. We learn, if we are to learn from a guru, what are we to learn? The most important thing we are to learn is that we are not these bodies, but that we are eternal spirit souls, part and parcels of Krishna. We are Krishna's eternal servants. So that is something to be learned, but that will be factually realized when we engage in devotional service and when we are blessed by the spiritual master with that realization. So knowledge and realization don't necessarily run parallel. It may be that someone has a lot of knowledge. Even there may be Mayavadis who have a lot of knowledge of Shastra. And even they know some people are very learned. You don't find so many people like that these days. But there are people who are very learned who they can speak perfectly Vaishnava philosophy. They can also speak perfectly Advaitic philosophy. They can speak perfectly Vaishnava philosophy. They don't believe it, but they can speak it. Or they believe it on a certain level, but they think, this is okay, this Vaishnava philosophy, it's good. Until you come to the higher level. That's what they think. Even though in Vaishnava philosophy, it's clearly accepted that the highest level is to surrender to Krishna, who is the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead. So even Mayavadis may speak that, but they think this is true, but it's only good for those who are on a lesser level. They should think like that. Let them think like that, and when they become more advanced, then they realize actually they are Krishna, which is rubbish. So knowledge and realization are not necessarily the same thing. Even we see many people, they may be Mayavadis, they may be apparently preaching Krishna consciousness. But actually they have no spirit of surrender to Krishna whatsoever. So knowledge and realization. How to get the realization? It's not simply a matter of acquiring knowledge. But one has to take the blessings of Krishna, which come in the parampara system. Actually not even directly the blessings of Krishna. The blessings or the mercy of Krishna, that is sprinkled in this world by the devotees of Krishna. Just like this song we have every morning, we sing, Sangsara dava nalalirta loka tranaya karanya ghana ghanatvam praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vandegaroshi charanaravinda. Krishna is the ocean of all kindness, all powers, all benediction. So, who is the spiritual master? He himself is taking benediction from that ocean of mercy. Just as the cloud takes water from the ocean. The ocean is unlimited. The cloud is limited. The cloud carries a certain amount of water which it takes from the ocean. But the cloud is not as big as the ocean. Nevertheless, because what ocean are we talking about? We're talking about the ocean of Krishna's mercy. So one drop of Krishna's mercy is unlimitedly powerful to liberate the whole world. So even though the spiritual master may not be as powerful as Krishna, he's not as powerful as Krishna. We sing, Sakshad Dharitvena Samasta Shastra Uktastata Bhavyata Eva Sadbihi. The spiritual master possesses the quality of being as good as the Supreme Lord. That doesn't mean that he's the creator, maintainer and destroyer of millions of universes as the Supreme Lord is. That is another mistake of the Mayavadis. They say that, well, Guru is as Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Maheshwar, so the Guru is just, he's the same. But how he's the same, you should understand. not the same in all respects. But he is as good as Krishna, and maybe by the power of Krishna, even better than Krishna, in respect of distributing Krishna's mercy. How can he be better than Krishna? How is that possible? Krishna sometimes makes his own devotees appear to be better than him, or empowers them, just like Krishna was driving the chariot, and Arjuna was shooting the bows and arrows, shooting the arrows from the bow. So it's not that Krishna is less than Arjuna, but he became less than Arjuna because he likes to see his devotee glorified more than himself. It was only by Krishna's mercy that Arjuna could shoot. It was only by Arjuna's mercy that Arjuna could win the war. But Krishna gave credit to his devotees. Just like that example I gave the other night, that Lord Ram built a wonderful bridge to Lanka with stones floating on the water. Who can do such a thing? Only the personality of Godhead. But Hanuman didn't even have to build a bridge, he just jumped. So it seems that Hanuman is more than Ram. By Ram's grace, he appears to be more than Ram. But again, he knows it is by Ram's grace. He doesn't think, I jumped over the water. And this Ram thinks he's a big guy. He has to build a bridge. He doesn't think like that. He always knows my position is the servant of Lord Ram. Therefore, he is empowered by Lord Ram. So in the same way, a spiritual master may act even apparently more powerfully than the Supreme Lord, by the Supreme Lord's blessings. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Prithivite ache jato nagaradigram sapatra pracha hoibe morana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that my name will be preached in every town and village of the world. But he didn't personally go to every town and village in the world. Prabhupada did. Once, one of Prabhupada's disciples told Prabhupada that someone had criticized Prabhupada and said, why are you preaching this Krishna bhakti all over the world? Why are you doing that? If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Krishna bhakti preached all over the world, he would have done it himself. He's Bhagavan. But he didn't do it. That means you're acting against his wish. Prabhupada said, no. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't preach Krishna consciousness all over the world because he wanted to give me the credit. So that's the fact. The devotee, Krishna sometimes makes to seem to be more. Devotee is sometimes more merciful than Krishna. Is that possible? Because Krishna is unlimitedly merciful. But the nature of transcendence is that there is no limit even to the unlimitedness. Can you understand that? It's not possible by any material means. That is called achintya shakti. The Supreme Lord possesses achintya shakti, inconceivable potencies. And sometimes he empowers his devotees with inconceivable potencies also for spreading Krishna consciousness. So Krishna sends his representatives into the world, and we are advised to approach such representatives. How? First thing, pranipātena. That means falling down, offering obeisances. Not that, you think you're a guru, what do you know? Come on. Come on then, show me God. Then you can't understand God. You have to be very humble and submissive. Otherwise, why should he teach? That example I was giving in the school, if the students are not at least somewhat submissive, then why should the teacher even bother? You can't begin to teach. That's why Krishna consciousness begins with that at least there has to be some initial faith. Ado Shraddha. There has to be some initial faith that there's something worth learning about here. So that faith is actually generated by the behavior of devotees. Dharma sthapan hetu shadur bebaha. Devotees move in this world, and by being Krishna conscious, they inspire others also to be Krishna conscious, because everyone in this material world is suffering. So if you see a Krishna conscious person, then you can understand he's not suffering as I am suffering. He's not attached as I am attached. So you become surprised that how can a person be so transcendental, that Arjuna also asked the question of Krishna, Sita Pragyasya Ka Bhasha Samadhi Stasya Keshava. What is the behavior of a person in the self-realized position whose intelligence is fixed? So Krishna gave quite an elaborate reply, but the main point he was saying that a self-realized person, he doesn't interact with the objects of the senses for sense gratification. Now that's unusual, because every person in this world, not only human being, but every living being in this world is interested in sense gratification. It's the be-all and end-all of life for everybody. But if someone is not interested in his personal sense gratification, but takes pleasure in, you can see he's taking pleasure in some higher spiritual ideal, some higher spiritual principle, then those who are, at least those who are pious, they'll become attracted to that. Their faith will awaken by seeing such devotees. And they will want to inquire from them that, how are you so happy? I also want to be happy like you. So that is submissive inquiry. However, here not only, pariprashna, that's obvious, the next point is, by questioning, questions are essential. But 3 points are given here: pranipat, pariprashna, and seva. That service is required. Submission is required. Questioning is required. And service is required. All these things are required. Like I was saying, it's not simply like an academic subject. You pay 10,000 rupees for some course and you study. It's a business deal. It's an exchange of money. It's not like that. Knowledge in Krishna consciousness is imparted by devotees to those who are coming to Krishna consciousness. There's no question of exchange of money, that I will teach you, it's 50 rupees a class. Pay for one semester in advance. It's not like that. Now, of course, the devotees, they may offer some financial contribution to those who are speaking Krishna consciousness, so they may use that to further their aims in preaching Krishna consciousness, because they understand if I give some money to a Krishna conscious person, he's not going to use it for sense gratification. He's going to use it for the service of Krishna. But there's no monetary exchange. Simply the devotee, out of his kindness and because he's ordered, speaks about Krishna, and the reciprocation is that those who are hearing, they should render some service. Not that a devotee likes to be served. Rather, a devotee wants to serve Krishna. He doesn't want to be personally served. But he may accept some service from others just to give them a chance to be linked with devotees in disciplic succession in Krishna consciousness, and to awaken their serving propensity for serving Krishna. Because in this material world, everyone is thinking of serving his own senses, indulging in his own sense gratification. So a spiritual master engages disciples in service. Mostly that means service to Krishna. I mean, how much personal service for his body can one person accept? If a spiritual master has 5,000 disciples, they can't all wash his cloth. They can't all cook for him. But he can engage them in service to Krishna. Just like Prabhupada, he received one letter from some of his disciples who were appreciating the great gift of Krishna consciousness that they had received from Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said that actually it's not possible to repay the spiritual master. He's given you that which is unlimited, Krishna. So you can't repay that debt. But still, it is the attitude of the disciple to try to repay that debt. So Prabhupada said that if you at all feel indebted to me, which of course his disciples did, that you should try to preach vigorously like me. So he engaged them in this service. That what is Prabhupada's service to his spiritual master is to preach Krishna consciousness. So he engages his disciples in the same thing. Of course, there are many services. There is directly going out for preaching in many ways. There are many, many services in Krishna consciousness, worshipping the deities, cleaning the temple. The temple gives an opportunity for all devotees to come and perform some service, such as cleaning the floor or helping to cut vegetables. There are so many different services. So actually, what is the spiritual master? He has to train the disciple. What does he train the disciple in? It's, as I was saying, it's not simply academic knowledge, but even more important than learning the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is to develop a service attitude. And actually, if you do study the philosophy and understand the philosophy, then you will want to serve. Because the whole philosophy teaches us that we should serve Krishna, and we should serve the Vaishnavas. So if we understand the philosophy, then that's what we'll want to do. Not that we shouldn't study philosophy, we should certainly study the philosophy. That's also part of our service to Krishna, is to study the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But then we should have an attitude of service. What is chanting Hare Krishna anyway? Chanting Hare Krishna means to say, my dear Lord, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. And as much as we develop that service attitude, then Krishna, through the agency of the spiritual master and the devotees, will reveal himself to us. Atashri Krishna Namadi Namavet Grahyam Indriyai Sivan Mukhehi Jivado Swayam Avyas Puratyada. This verse from the Narada Pancharatra states that Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes, etc., they cannot be understood simply by an academic approach. Krishna is not perceivable to the mundane senses. You can't understand Krishna through the materially contaminated mind. But when we become eager to serve Krishna, then Krishna gradually reveals himself to us. And that service begins with the tongue, jivado, chanting Hare Krishna and taking prasad. It doesn't end with the tongue, that's not all. That's the beginning. You can start off by chanting Hare Krishna and taking prasad. But then as we become more advanced, then we'll want to serve Krishna in so many different ways. So this is the process. This is the clear and definite process given by Lord Sri Krishna. How we can understand the truth. We have to approach those who know the truth in humility, with a service attitude, and ask relevant questions to them. And in this way, we can get the blessings of the great devotees, we can take knowledge from them, and in this way, gradually make progress on the path of becoming Krishna conscious. So, Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this verse and purport and class? Any question about the subject just discussed? Alright, then I'll go on. There are some general questions here. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 6. The Lord says, one who restrains the senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. Does this mean that one must satisfy one's urge for sex desire to one's degree of satiation and then come to mukti? That sounds like here's his name down here. Rajneesh. Sounds like his idea. Chapter 3, text 6. But what does chapter 7 say? Verse 7, the next verse. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga and Krishna consciousness without attachment, he is by far superior. So sense indulgence is not being recommended by the Lord, but he recommends that one knows one's own proper position and control the mind and senses according to his position. Even, you see, in the Varnashram system, there's brahmachari life, vanaprastha life, sannyasa life, in which there's no sex life. In grihastha life that is allowed, but not unlimitedly. Even that with restriction. The idea is to overcome. If you say degree of satiation, there is no degree of satiation. Dushparena analena cha. Krishna says this lust, it doesn't end. It's not that by indulging in it, it finishes. Otherwise the whole world is indulging. But they don't become renounced. Renunciation comes by following a process of sadhana, not by indulging in sense enjoyment. Chapter 3, text 33. Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature, for everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? 34. There are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects. One should not come under the control of such attachment and aversion because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. Purport. In spite of regulated sense enjoyment, there is every chance of falling down. Therefore, any attachment for regulated sense enjoyment must also be avoided by all means. Opinion. Philosopher Rajneesh. Well, that's being very charitable to him to call him a philosopher. Philosopher Rajneesh has preached that satiation of sex desire is better than repression. But there is no satiation. If you're satiated, then you've been having sex for millions of lives. There is no satiation. It's maya, it's illusion. Therefore, you always think that it's going to be nice. Did he ever become satiated? Because repression drives the desire to the subconscious mind, creating psychological problems and violent reaction. Well, that's not what Krishna says. So who do you want to believe? This rascal Rajneesh, who had to change his name to Osho because he got such a bad name, being called Rajneesh. Or do you want to believe Krishna? You say he's a philosopher. Who's a better philosopher, Krishna or Rajneesh? You think that that self-realization, having orgies? Which yogi in the history of India has recommended such a thing? Yoga indriya sangyamya. Yoga means to control the senses. Do we read anywhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam of such things? He also preached the Tantra philosophy. Yeah, this Tantra, that's for very low class, degraded people. I mean, Tantra, of course, we also have Tantra. And Tantra simply means activity. But Tantra is generally, when we say Tantra, that's generally identified with the left-wing tantra, that such as Kapalika, in which they keep a skull and so many low-class things. They drink wine and I don't want to say. So this is for people in the lowest modes of ignorance. That's not for making spiritual advancement. Does the phrase regulated indicate lesser degree of satisfaction of the senses? Well, try to understand, there is no such thing as satisfaction of the senses. It's all an illusion. So regulating sense gratification means not to just be an animal. Animals just indulge in sense gratification unrestrictedly. Regulation of sense gratification allows people who are addicted to that to have some, but to gradually be controlled, because sense gratification is not in our self-interest. Also, the Lord was partial to Arjuna, who had four wives. Yeah, but he wasn't partial to him because he had four wives. He was partial to him because he was a great devotee of Krishna. That's why he was partial to him. Now, when we hear that Arjuna had four wives, that doesn't mean that he was a lusty sense enjoyer of the material world. He's a pure devotee of Krishna. Pure devotee of Krishna may be a grihastha. He's not like a pure devotee of Krishna in the grihastha ashram is not like a sense enjoyer who's married. There was some nawab in Lucknow who had 300 wives. Even now in the Gulf you'll find rich Arabs, they have many wives. So does it mean that because Arjuna had four wives, he was a lusty person? No. He's a pure devotee, and all his wives are also. For the householder, the dividing line seems razor sharp. What is the middle path? Actually, ultimately, there is no middle path. Krishna says, Sarvadhaman parityajya, mam ekam sharanam raja. Surrender to me. At the same time, regulated sense enjoyment is allowed for those who are not ready. This is a realistic allowance for those who are not ready to fully renounce everything, but who still are serious about sense gratification. At the same time, we should be careful not to become attached to that regulated sense enjoyment. We should also, even though regulated sense enjoyment is allowed within the Grihastha ashram, at the same time, the Grihastha should go on hearing about the necessity to give up sense gratification so that they can gradually become detached. Sex life in Krishna consciousness means it's not forbidden, but what kind of sex life? That Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, dharma viruddho kamosmi. What is that? Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. Krishna says that sex life which is not contrary to religious principles, that is a representation of Krishna. So we're not against sex life per se, but sex life should be used for producing children who will be brought up in Krishna consciousness, not otherwise. Hare Krishna. Any other question? All right, well, thank you all for coming these evenings. It was 4 evenings, wasn't it? Thank you very much for your patient hearing and your enthusiasm to hear. Surely Krishna will bless you. That we were reading last night, that verse, how those who are eager to hear, they are blessed by Krishna and they make advancement. So go on hearing and chanting and serving, and Krishna will bless you more and more.